This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on a wonderful Wednesday. We're about to talk about the Rockets as Lopez thinks that the Rockets are indeed the most interesting team in the city. So text in, let me know if you agree or disagree with that. 713-572-4610. Calling in, I got Dominic in New Jersey. Dominic, what you got?
What's up, fellas? I know it's not Reaction Monday, but I try and let the dust settle a little bit. It's Reaction Wednesday, and I'm still just as mad as I was on Monday about these Texans. So let me sound off a little bit here. I want to start with D'Amico. I love D'Amico, would die for him, but his game management is somehow becoming worse. He's good for the culture. He's done an excellent job with the defense this year for the most part, but the game management is absolutely killing me. My next victim, Bobby Slowick. I can't do this anymore with Bobby. He's holding this team back. I don't care what anyone else says. We need to do better. His play calling, I mean, everyone knows what's coming, it feels like, every play. Thank God for Joe Mixon. I don't know where we would be right now. Then I want to move on to C.J. Stroud. Love C.J., would die for C.J. Everyone knows that. But I got to see something from you, man. Last week, the game against Green Bay, I know the offensive line struggled, but there was a lot left to be desired on the field. I never seen C.J.'s attitude like that, so down on the sideline. I understand it happens, but number 7's got to come out swinging this week. Finally, the O-line. I can accept mistakes, guys. I can. I know it's going to happen. You can fix mistakes. You can't fix a guy's mentality, though. This offensive line doesn't have that killer instinct. They get beat by the opposition every week. Laramie Tunsil's too worried about his pregame, postgame outfits. Finally, before I go, gentlemen, this week is a must win. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Reggie, I'm 0-11 seeing the Texans live. 0-11. I've been to the H a ton of times. I'm going to the Jet game next week, and I'm coming to the H for Sunday Night Football. I'll be there that weekend for my bachelor party. So this week is a must win. But as always, let's go Texans, boys.
All right. Appreciate you, Dominic. Enjoy the travels. And, yeah, I appreciate you if for nothing else. And, it's, of course, there's more, but if for nothing else. Is dropping in that must win. That warmed my spirit. I'm glad that happened. I feel like the reaction. I'm interested. The idea that the reaction was that poignant in the course of this. Mm-hmm. A few days after, which look, I don't know if you want to say that the Texans are incredibly good at this moment, right? Because of some of the things, but they are very interesting, which makes it kind of tough. I don't know, Lopez. You're gonna have to do a little convincing here by saying that the Rockets are indeed the most interesting team.
I got you. Okay,
You got some explaining to me.
I do, and I appreciate Dominic calling in, and it sort of was a reflection too of what we were talking about earlier about, you know, there's a lot of sort of shrapnel that's hitting all across this team from the problems with the offensive line. But let's get to the Rockets.
Oh, season opener tonight.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. Are you going?
Yeah, I'll go down there tonight to Toyota Center and see what's happening with the boys.
And I started looking at this squad, and let's just be honest, and I've said it on the air. It's not like I was keeping it from anyone. They haven't really been the most interesting team. It's a frustrating team, not quite, especially before Ime got here. Like, it was just a very frustrating team to watch. I thought the direction was, obviously weird in many ways. I thought the head coach was soft. We know that story. Ime gets here. They do a few things last year. Going into this year, I realized this morning, I said, I am very, very interested in how this season plays out. And I think they might be the most interesting team, and I use that word deliberately.
Yeah, you didn't say best because that would you can't sell that.
They're not the best. They're not the most proven. They may not even be the most promising, like the Texans are promising.
Okay,
but they're interesting because I equate it to like the 2015 or 2014 going into 2015 season Astros. there is youth everywhere. There is talent everywhere. You know, the Astros were on the cover of Sports Illustrated and, you know, Springer and all that stuff. But you didn't, nobody really knew. Nobody thought. Now, the Astros got the lightning in a bottle. You know, they most all hit and were big successes. And we know what happened with there. Sengun is kind of in that mold. Like, he's one of the guys that's, you know, he's going to be good. They gave him the contract. He you know, the offense is going to run through him. He's going to be a focal point.
Yeah, I mean, he's now one of the top, what, six or seven paid centers in the league?
Yeah.
And that's me being conservative because I don't remember off the top of my head what the Spotrack has said.
Jalen Green is we know the story, but we know there's something there. Like, is it going to be able to be molded and developed into something? And then you got Amen Thompson. You heard Spo earlier, like, you know, he might be one of the big surprises this year, or he might fall off. You know, or not show what we think he's going to be. Cam Whitmore, to me, is a very interesting player. I've talked about, you know, when I did check in on them in the preseason, I kind of liked what I saw, but who knows? Jabari Smith, Reed Shepard is going to be, I think, a really big addition to this team.
Yeah, for sure.
Tari Eason, who knows what's going to be with him?
Yeah, after him missing a whole bunch of time last year.
Yeah.
How does he integrate in with mm-hmm. what you're doing?
Yeah. So you notice I didn't mention Van Vliet or Steven Adams or any of these veteran players, because just those guys right there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players. The oldest one is 23. The average age is just over 21. This is an interesting season for the Rockets.
So it's just off of, I mean, not just.
No, from what we've seen.
But the major points of it is like, and there's question marks there. And I don't mean question marks in that all. It might be bad. It's just like, what is, how much of this are you getting?
It's anticipation.
Okay.
It's anticipation.
I think that's a fair way of putting it.
I remember watching this young Astros team. Altuve was already established or getting established and thinking, is he? Is that Springer cat going to be what we think he's going to be? Well, he was. You know, is this guy or that guy? That's what we're saying about some of these people. I mean, is he? Is Jalen Green? Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then to what degree is Alperen Sengun? I think there's a lot of people that are kind of buying in on the Alperen Sengun, but also there's still portions of this to figure out, like how viable is the defense, or can he get so good on offense where I know he's called baby Jokic, right? Mm-hmm. You look at Jokic, where Jokic, you can't put him off the floor just because he may not be great on defense, but on the other hand, he'll kick your keister, right?
Yeah.
Like, how good can Alperen Sengun become in those ways, you know, to maybe validate that nickname? Reed Shepard is the one that's really interesting, and not just because of the opportunity of, you know, having the shooting and all those things, which is great. But as I mentioned earlier, Adam Spillane wrote a fantastic piece on SportsRadio610.com where he was detailing how this team is trusting in him to be a secondary ball handler.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's abundantly clear when you watch the Rockets is that if they have Fred VanVleet on the floor and he is a calming figure, everything feels a little bit more organized on the floor. When they don't, it gets a little haphazard, especially with the added pace that Ime Udoka is trying to inject to this. He wants them to move faster to help their offense.
Mm-hmm.
But that, with youth, that can turn into chaos. And so having some steadying forces on the floor is great, except you can't have VanVleet on the floor 48 minutes. And so your secondary ball handler seems like it's going to be Ruben. Ruben text me. It's going to be Reed.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder, like, how quickly can Reed, you know, establish a place where he's not just the ball handler, but he also makes decisions that help not only facilitate the offense, but kind of calm everybody else down. That's a lot to ask of a true rookie.
Well, it is. But I think, I mean, hell, I some people are calling him, you know, a Steph Curry type. Well, tap the brakes a little bit on that. But just to be mentioned, you know, as that type of player, as a point guard that can shoot like that, is going to be, you know, pretty incredible. And then the biggest reason I think, you know, that they're really the most interesting team is because the development is over. Like, other than the individual, what are they going to be?
Like, oh, you mean like
the putting together of the team? Like, this is going to be the core.
You got the raw materials now.
The biggest thing for me is this is going to be the core. Because if it's not, as Spo also mentioned, then you can trade Jalen Green. You know what I mean? And that's a very tradable contract in some ways. Like, these are the guys. Like, they're not going to, you know, I had that whole thing as I'm not sure if he's really a number two. Well, who is then? There is no real number two on this squad.
Ryan, do you get closer to the idea of consolidation? Or do you even have to consolidate? Because that was a question that happened a lot with the Oklahoma City Thunder over the last year or two. Mm-hmm. Was, hey, you have a lot of young talent, but the fact of the matter is you can't pay all the young talent.
Right.
So at some point, do you then consolidate and take some of these players and then trade them for a more bona fide star or something to that effect? And that's a question that it seems like you can maybe juxtapose or like kind of superimpose, rather, is the word I was looking for, on this Rockets team and go, huh, maybe that's something. And maybe they end up in that place. It was some of this, you have to figure out which pieces stay, which pieces don't. Or you look up and you go, it develops in such a way where you don't even have to consolidate and everybody can fit together in the right pieces. And so all of those are interesting. I find it hard to get to that place on saying the most interesting, because this Texans team is also still very interesting.
No, but they're very interesting, but kind of in a different way, because I think we have the expectation. We've seen kind of examples of just how good they could be, and that I think they are a contending team. I've said it this year. I've said it last week. I think that, you know, they can iron out somehow this offensive line. They have the elements to be a contending team this year. I think the difference is the reason the Rockets are interesting to me, because Astros are really, I mean, interesting is a stretch.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, they've got some pieces, but they've done it a million times and all that, and we'll see how they can adjust the roster and all that. Interesting to me because, I'll put it this way, they're no longer just kind of biding their time. Like, they're serious about winning.
They are?
But can they? You know, not only in the Western Conference, but with this squad. With these young players.
Well, I mean, it starts tonight, and we were talking with Spo. He had a little conversation with Jalen Green after the contract was finalized on Monday. Actually, I think the conversation happened on Tuesday at practice. And Jalen had, you know, pointed to the idea that these first four games of the season are going to be important. Tonight versus the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, I believe they're going to Memphis to face the Grizzlies. You can double check me on that. Make sure I'm right there. But then they'll have the Spurs.
Back to back
as well. Well, I guess they'll have a day in between. And so these four games will tell you very quickly just how good you're going to be, or maybe not in entirety of just how good, but if you want to be taken seriously about going and trying to contend in the West, there's three games that you absolutely need to win, and then one that's going to be a little bit, I don't know if a measuring stick is quite right, but will give you some indication of what you're looking like against the Grizzlies. And so, yeah, very early on, we'll start getting to some of the heart of what this team is in that excitement.
I saw something, I guess it was online or on Twitter or something, that, you know, the Rockets are one of those teams right now where the young talent is not just what it's all about anymore. Like, it's about having to win. And I think that's a good way to put it, and I think that's what makes them extremely interesting this year.
I think
they've been more impressive on paper, put it that way.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, too, remember during the offseason, they made that trade where they got all those first-round picks. So they can still be in the market of getting something, like getting a big piece to make that run.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So I hear you. I still am having a little bit of a hard time to get there, but I do.
It's time to take it off the paper.
Yes, absolutely. It's no longer theoretical.
Yeah.
It's no longer theoretical.
Yeah.
And they get on the court and play real basketball tonight, 7 p.m. at Toyota Center. Appreciate that. We were talking earlier. Our question of the day was inspired by Nick Caserio and the Halloween candy that
bless
the babies get. Apparently he gives makes them give away 3/4 of their candy. And Lopez.
Man, that's insane.
That's insane.
It's a lot.
I would be sitting there bawling my eyes out crying.
No, you'd be hiding it like his girls.
Yeah, that's the thing, is Lopez believes staunchly that, yeah, no, that they're getting candy behind his back. And so we asked the question of the day, what is the thing what's the sneaky thing you did your parents never figured out about? We got this from the 832. They said they broke the bowl for their mom's bong. Interesting situation.
Mm-hmm.
Staged it to make it look like it fell over, spilled the water and all, told her about it years later, and they had a good laugh. Okay.
I bet they did laugh.
Yeah. Maybe because of the substances.
Yeah, they were laughing and laughing.
I had a cousin one time. He tried to move his room around. He was younger. Tried to move his room around and wanted to move the TV, but it was no outlet.
Big booty TV?
Not that one, but... It was no outlet where he wanted to move it. So this fool decided to cut the cord.
Oh.
No, there was no thinking. He was not thinking.
Plugged in?
No, it wasn't plugged in, but yeah. He thought he could cut the cord and just move it. And obviously the TV never worked again. So this dude lied and said he dropped some scissors in the cut.
Oh, God.
God, kids are terrible.
No
lying,
one is
man.
Going to believe that.
I know. I don't think he got in like bad trouble, but yeah, that was the silliest thing you could have did.
713 earlier said they never got caught, but in high school they had a keg party at the house. They're charged $5 a head, and after the party, after the party got full, they called the cops on themselves and then ran.
Why? What? Why?
Y'all some jerks.
Yeah, I know. Why?
Well, they said their mom never understood why the cops showed up to the house when she was at work, and they left with the keg before the cops got there. Pocketed all the money, kept the beer.
They were stealing is what they were doing.
Yeah, that in that instance, it's not about if the parents found out. Did everybody else find out? Because I feel like they owe you a visit, a talking to, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah, a physical talking to. But yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's about that time where we turn things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What we got today, Fig?
Man, so people on social media discover a beef from back in the day involving two musical goats. And you might be, I guess you might be shamed by airline if you do a certain thing while boarding. Plus, what's something your parents let you do as a kid that will probably get them arrested nowadays?
Okay, let's talk about all that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. And something that kind of had the internet, I wouldn't say going nuts or anything like that, but on my timeline, I love when younger folks discover something that kind of been obvious and been talking points for years.
It's always fun. There's waves of learning.
Where
always.
They like, wow, Tupac and Biggie had a beef?
Oh, that one's crazy.
That wasn't it. I'm overreacting to this.
Bobby Caldwell being white is one of those ones that pops up every time, a lot of times.
Yeah, no, I love when younger folks discover something that we kind of been talking about for a little bit. And one of the things they discovered was Tupac had a beef with Michael Jackson.
That was making the rounds last week and earlier this week.
Yeah, he actually had a beef with Michael Jackson. And that beef actually ended up physical at one point.
Yeah, well, I know
who won that fight.
who you think won?
The man from Gary, Indiana.
Come on.
Hey, we're going to get to that in a minute. But
Lopez, you better know about Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, so here's a story about Tupac pretty much being really upset with Michael Jackson and felt disrespected over a collab they were supposed to do.
Pac mentioned one time that he was called to the studio to do a song for Michael Jackson, to lay a verse. And he told his mother, his family, he was excited, and he went to the studio. He's like, where's Michael Jackson? And they said, oh, he can't come. He went to the later verse. He got up and left. He's like, man, he's not man. And that's Michael Jackson. He's like, man, he wasn't man enough to come say hi to me and speak to me. I don't want to get on the song. He was more about ethics and morals. Like, you know, we look up to you. If you want me on the song, at least come say hi to me. You know, I don't think Pac was just doing stuff for money. Like, it was more personal if he get on the record with you and stuff like that. He didn't really care about the money.
So he was really upset about Michael Jackson not being there. I guess he was super excited to actually talk to him in person and all that stuff.
That's a very particular time in that era, because nowadays people lay vocals entirely away from each other.
At their house.
Put the whole song together.
Never even met him in person.
Yeah.
And they had a collab song together. But Tupac was really, really offended by that.
Mm-hmm. I bet he was.
So the other thing, this is where it get physical.
Okay.
So Michael Jackson was very good friends with icon Quincy Jones.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So Quincy Jones, they were really close. And Quincy Jones' children, whenever you're close with somebody, they kind of become, their kids kind of become like your nieces and nephews 100%. And stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Tupac was actually dating one of Quincy Jones' daughters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let's say stuff got a little disrespectful with Tupac and Quincy Jones' daughter while Michael Jackson was around. And this is how that story went.
Jackson watched Quincy Jones' daughters grow up. Fast forward years later, Tupac is dating one of the daughters. I think it was Khadijah. Tupac comes out the party disrespecting Khadijah, like, shut up. Come on. Shut the fuck up and get in the car. Mike stepped to him. Yo, you can't talk to her like that. He was like, Mike, mind your fucking business. Mike was like, no, that's like my niece. You ain't going to just talk to her like that. Michael Jackson, fucking Tupac start rumbling. Michael Jackson beat his ass.
That's right.
No, he did that's not. Right. He did?
That's right.
he and this is not. All allegedly, by the way.
Was it a slap fight?
Hey, you don't stop playing these.
Hey, you got to look on YouTube and some TikToks to see the real Michael Jackson was.
Hey, my mom lived in East Chicago, Indiana. I know that area. That's right outside of Gary.
Hey, people.
But it's still Michael Jackson.
Hey, people said Michael Jackson was a part of a gang.
Yeah,
people say don't sleep on Michael Jackson.
The Jackson 5.
Hey. Hey, don't sleep on Michael Jackson, man.
I think also sometimes we get into this, we look at some of the ways that people dress or whatever, and we get it wrong. Like, you think of, especially like those dudes like the Ohio Players and all that time, where you see them in them bell bottoms and stuff, and part of them bell bottoms, they got a knife in there, right? Like, they will cut you. You got to remember that.
That's my era. And Michael Jackson, you're not going to find a much bigger fan than me. But, come on.
So you think he was and see, this is the other thing, too. People look at Tupac like he was just this. Look, Tupac was not the Tupac that you know.
He was a classically trained actor, singer. Yeah,
like people look at him like he was just born a gang member and all this other stuff. That Tupac escalated over a few years.
Yeah. I think he went to the New York School of Performing Arts.
He went to a performing arts squad.
It was in Baltimore. With Jada
Pinkett. He was professionally trained. See, I know my stuff, man. I know where I'm coming from.
And yet still, you're out here down MJ's ability to give people the hands.
You don't think MJ can fight?
No, I don't.
Well, according to that, you lucky he not here. He can put his hands on you.
Hey, that guy who can't fight reportedly beat up Tupac.
He kicked Tupac's ass. That's when you retire, right? Michael Jackson kicks your ass.
Nah, you just learn to be a little bit more respectful when Mike around. That's what it is.
Yeah, but that was kind of making the rounds, and people were like, oh my God, really? What? So I thought that was kind of
funny. Hold on. See, I'm still trying to learn in the course of this. 832, did Michael Jackson fight Martin Lawrence and whoop him? All right, well, I know what I will be Googling.
All I know is whenever I see Michael Jackson stories about fighting, people say, hey, don't sleep on Michael. Like, we seen some tough gang members pretty much saying, hey, I seen Michael Jackson. Hey, you don't want to rumble with Michael Jackson.
Good Lord.
Yeah, just like you don't want to play Prince and Hoops. You know what I mean? Like, there's things that you would not necessarily think.
Now that I buy, because I've seen it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone's seen it. Someone seen Mike?
Yeah, a lot of people seen some. Yeah, whoop Tupac's ass.
Oh, I forgot the Michael Jackson fight when Martin was on the TV show.
Oh
really?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. But American Airlines will not. They doing a new testing system that will shame travelers who attempt to board before their group has been called.
All right. So how can you do it?
I guess so. I guess so.
Because people just kind of stand up.
Which I don't understand.
No, so, I don't either.
Yeah, so, you know, when you board the plane, sometimes they call you by groups.
Yeah.
And some people kind of skip their own group and then they go in. So apparently there will be like a system where if you scan your ticket.
Oh, the actual scanning.
It will beep where they tell you, get your ass back in the line.
No, that's good. No, that's good. Do it.
I never got that in part because, I mean, especially with all of the assigned seating, and I know Southwest is also going to assigned seating here shortly, where you just want to sit on the plane longer? I don't understand. What are we...
They want to get their baggage put up.
That's true. I always forget about the carry-on.
They want to get their carry-ons put up. That's what it is. But I'm all for it, 100%. Let every airline do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never really been a line jumper when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. I just kind of chill till they call my group.
We'll be good.
Yeah, and I guess part of the time, too, is only me and one other person traveling. It's not like I got, like, four people and I'm trying to get all the seats and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you're also, like, it's because nobody trusts their fellow travelers to be reasonable people and not bring, like, two carry-on bags and take up all the bins and stuff.
Yeah, but, shout out to American Airlines. We're going to shame folks for
I hope they do.
For line
jumping.
Shout
out to American. Do that. But a great point comes in as well. Never understood, why do they board the plane front to back?
No, they order. I thought they did back. Front is just first class.
No, you got to go through the front.
No, they do. Yeah, I had that backwards. Yeah, they go front to back. Yeah, they go front to back.
So you got
to
walk in front of everybody that already sat down. It feels like logically you would start from the back, have those people load in, and the people in the front. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know things.
What's something your parents let you do as a kid that will probably get them arrested nowadays? 713-572-4610. Text some in. A couple of them I thought about, and I guess this kind of relate to a lot of people in Houston and Texas in general. Riding in the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, that I know a
I
lot
think
of
every
people
kid
that.
Rode in the back of a pickup truck at one point. I did.
All right, so let's go through this list, but I just scrolled through your list. Only one of these things did my parents not allow me to do.
Oh, so you were
really? Yeah, because I was in that era.
Yeah,
I
mean, that era where they cared about you, but they didn't care about you.
So after we're done here, I will see if you can guess which one they did not allow me to. Because pretty much every one of these, they allowed me to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go through this list real quick. Yeah. Staying at home at a young age.
Oh, yeah. Definitely did that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, just don't open the door for nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't touch nothing.
That's right.
Just watch TV until I get home. Not using your seatbelt or car seats. My parents was guilty of that.
They was like, nah, you gotta buckle up.
Y'all gotta guess which one is the only one.
Oh, this is a game that we're playing now. You definitely didn't have to buckle your seatbelt.
They allowed me to do every one of these except one.
Yeah, no, they let you ride in the car without no seatbelt.
All right, what about this one? Going outside to play without supervision.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every
yeah.
day.
All the time.
Yeah, 100%.
Every day.
Hell, I drove to Columbus one time.
Yeah, but they didn't know that.
What about this one? Walking or biking long distance alone?
Yeah.
Now,
I bet you did.
Every day.
I bet you did.
But see, like, if I told my parents I was about to do that, they would be like, nah, but I just go for it. I just ride, you know, they'll mind me riding around the corners and all that stuff, but
I rode my bike
just go for it.
To school in third grade every day. It was about a mile and a half away.
Damn.
There's a number of people talking about how their parents or grandparents would send them to the store to pick up beer and cigarettes.
Yeah, that's actually on the list, being able to buy cigarettes.
Yeah, I never bought cigarettes.
My dad would give me money, and I'd go to Zimmerman's on the corner, a little store, and buy him cigarettes when I was like 12 and 13.
Mm. You ever pocket one or two?
No, I was never, you know, you guys know that. I've never really been that.
Okay,
not cigars. I do.
Yeah. What about this one? Drinking from a garden hose.
That's how you got your hydration, baby. Because
you're not about to go in and out the house. When you can't go in the house, we got to get some water.
Mm-hmm.
What about this one? Fireworks. Would your parents let you do fireworks and all that stuff?
We had bottle rocket wars, throwing them at each other. Pew! It would go right by your head.
We did that with one time with the Roman candles.
Yeah. That's dangerous.
That's so stupid, man. Yeah. It looked cool. I wish we had like cameras and stuff around that time because it looked super cool. But we definitely played wars with Roman candles.
So I never did that because I never had want to really mess with fireworks. I was like, nah, there's enough danger there that y'all got it. Let somebody professionally do this. Although we get a text in. I was asking, why don't they board the plane back to front? And someone said, if you load the back of the plane first, the wheels will come off the ground in the front. Is that true? I don't know.
It's not a paper airplane.
I mean, the way that they building them, you ask Boeing. Don't say that too loud. Boeing might try it.
But enough about Spirit.
I know. I was about to say the Wright brothers. Their plane. It might happen if that was their plane. But what about this one? No helmets for biking or skateboarding.
They didn't even make them.
All the time.
They didn't even make them.
Yeah.
They really didn't.
Yeah. They didn't make that a big deal back then.
281 said their parents used to leave them in the car where they were at the store.
Oh, 100%. That happened to me.
My mom was like, you going to stand here, you going to walk with me. Yeah. You going to push this cart, in fact.
Yeah.
What about going on long road trips without car safeties?
Yeah, they didn't even have seatbelts in the back seats.
Sleeping in the back without, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Handling firearms.
Nope.
That's something I...
Did that.
Yeah. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. My dad... So for New Year's, my dad let me go in the back. And he actually...
He let you pop some off in the air?
He held my hand, so it wasn't like I was just free.
But still,
that's
the one thing y'all not supposed to be doing. They got to come back down, man.
That's the most dangerous thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, young and dumb.
Yeah. That's true. What about this one? Playing with potentially dangerous toys. So, like, darts, BB guns, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think I had those now that I think about it.
Did that, too. I'm not proud. I'm just saying.
I mean,
it was a different time, man. We used to have... It might be gone now. You see that scar right there? There used to be a BB stuck in my arm that just was left. See that white spot?
Okay.
I had a BB. My brother shot at me. It just stayed in there, and I could always move. Oh, it is still in there. You can feel it.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
You can feel the BB right there.
Yeah, the last couple ones I got is sunscreen and jumping around on bouncing cars or trampoline.
Sunscreen is the winner.
Really?
They always made me wear sunscreen.
Really?
All of the things. That's the one.
Guns, fireworks, buying cigarettes, you know, all that other stuff.
Being unaccompanied by an adult.
Riding my bike.
But I'll be damned.
You are going to wear sunscreen.
Damn.
Because we always went fishing into the beach and stuff.
We're not letting this myeloma come
through. My mom would, and it was that white stuff, I would look like a mummy. Out there, she would just like, of all the things, sunscreen.
I never even wore sunscreen until I moved here, and I started putting a little bit on, but I don't really care for it, man.
I've learned to love sunscreen, especially when you get out on that golf course.
Big.
Yeah, we don't want to change the hue of how you look just because you decided to go out there and get on the links. Yeah. Appreciate you, Fig.
I like that.
I think basically we all just thought back to our childhoods about how much less safe it actually was.
It's a miracle I'm still here.
Although, it's funny. We lived in technically a less safe world, but we was out. We was wilding.
The one that got me was the parents going in the store or something like that and leaving the kids in the car.
Bro.
Oh, man.
And let me tell you, the car wasn't on either.
It wasn't.
In there.
Windows down. I'm like, man, the boogeyman could have got us.
Anybody.
Ain't nobody take us.
Anybody. So.
It's about three of us back then. You could never do that now, man.
You really could.
I've never even seen that in a long time.
No.
What I guess we will call the good old days, I guess.
All right.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're getting ready to hand off to the guys of the drive. But Alex Smith put up an interesting concept. Is the NFC stronger than the AFC right now? We'll talk about that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, on a Wednesday. Appreciate you hanging out with us all day. Much appreciation to our guy Adam Spillane giving us a little bit of his time earlier as we get ready for the Rockets to start their season against the Hornets tonight at 7 at Toyota Center. We're about getting ready to hand over to our guys, Clint and Ron of The Drive. And as I look at it, looks like we got a little bit, or just to kind of double back on some of the information we got during practice. Aziz Alshehir not practicing. However, Kamari Lassiter back at practice. Henry Toto'o at practice, as is one of the steps towards clearing the concussion protocol. That's good. And Devin White, the newest signee.
He's ready to go, man.
Of your Houston Texans. He is wearing the number 45, and he also.
And a C on his chest.
Is at practice. He's the, no, do not embellish. Do not add. He's just wearing 45 in practice.
We need him.
All. Running with the first team.
Well, maybe you'll need him even less if Toto clears concussion protocol and he's ready to play. That'd be really great.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jimmy Ward continues to miss practice as well. With that groin injury. But yeah, a little bit of news there. Now, I think Cody Stutes also mentioned that during the open period of practice, mm-hmm. that the offensive line remains unchanged, at least from what he could see. So it seems like you're not going to get some of the moving around of the offensive line that has kind of been hypothesized.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, it seems to be, from what we can tell, they're sticking to the plan of what they had.
So what is the plan then?
Plan is go out
it's
there.
It's all on the table.
Execute better is the plan. Is seems to be continuously. Is execute
Would you be
better.
Disappointed in that?
If it's just execute better? Yeah, a little bit, right? Like, again, I think we got to this point in talking somewhat about Bobby. It feels like you've gotten a lot of weeks where, and I guess the Texans will say, hey, there's been instances where things have gone good. It hasn't always been all the way bad, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's been up and down enough that you might have to look at it and say, or evaluate the idea that maybe, just maybe, what you're doing does not fit what you, what your guys are out there capable of executing, whatever, and you might need to make some adjustments
yeah.
to make it either simplify or make it more appealing, easier, what have you, whatever the word is, to get the job done. Because ultimately, the fact of the matter, the biggest thing is getting the job done. I have a friend that has a saying. And he says, there's only one rule. It just has to work. Right? And so the idea that, hey, man,
I like that.
It works because this is the system that we're doing, and we ultimately finally fit everybody into the system. They're not going to ask that. Did you get the job done is ultimately going to be what it is.
I want to sort of marinate on this a little bit. Think about it. Maybe we revisit tomorrow, because I know they're going to be asking D'Amico about it. It'll be interesting to see how he talks about
yeah.
you know, some of the things that are happening.
And he'll talk today. He'll talk yeah. to the media after yeah. practice. So we talked earlier about the Mina Kimes show. Mina Kimes was kind of voicing some of her concerns with this Texans team. She mentioned Bobby a little bit, the first and second down, some mm-hmm. of those things, obviously the offensive line. But she had Alex Smith on the program, and Alex Smith kind of, in some ways, was a voice of reason or a calm in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of responded with some of the things that make him feel like the Texans are still going to be okay.
Yeah.
This is what he said.
I think they're going to be fine. The AFC is not what the NFC is this year, which is crazy, because I think the narrative has been the otherwise. Like the last 5 years, I mean, the narrative is that the AFC is stronger. The quarterbacks are better on the AFC side. I think you could very much make the argument that, you know, the NFC North in itself is certainly got the best football teams, maybe the three best football teams. So I don't want to make too much out of it. I understand what you're saying, and you saw, but like, I don't know. I'm still so bullish on him and the Texans in general.
So he's still very bullish on CJ and the Texans and everything. But one of the reasons that he threw up there, he thinks the NFC is actually more of a difficult out, right? More of a tough division, or rather conference, than the AFC. I kind of want to break this down, because he said that, and I was like, I don't mm-hmm. know about that, my man.
What's the third team?
Is it
the Packers?
The NFC North? Yeah, I think it's the Packers. The Packers have found defense to match what their offense is
but
doing.
But I had to look a little bit. So he's saying the best three teams in the NFC are all in the NFC North.
So Lions, Vikings.
Because I don't think he's talking about the Commanders.
No, I don't think he's talking about the Commanders. He's probably, I don't know if he's talking about the Niners.
Or the Seahawks.
Seahawks, Falcons, Buccaneers, any of those really. Yeah, it's probably those three there.
Yeah.
When you talk about Lions, Vikings, Packers, who are the three best in the AFC?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's probably what? Ravens?
Ravens for sure.
Chiefs?
Chiefs for sure.
Bills?
Bills maybe arguable with the Texans. Steelers are 5-2.
Yeah, but we know what that 5-2. And what's crazy is the point differential is a +60.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah, the everything around has kind of made things work. They've been able to run the ball, and the defense has been really solid within that. The defense has actually been really good. Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with him.
And I think that maybe you can tilt this a little bit towards the NFC. I think that the top end, the NFC, is like really strong. But even then, like I really like Baltimore compared to those teams at the top as well.
I think the depth in the AFC for sure is better. Like there's a bunch of teams that could maybe either are in the mix or could get in the
agreed.
Mix, you know?
Agreed, right? Yeah. Teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, who you always look around and you go, okay, you still have, although that defense has just fallen off from where it was. Depending on how you feel about the Dolphins once they get the quarterback back, once Tua is back playing. Outside of that, actually, I start looking and I'm like, oh, this is not nearly as the Jets, if you feel like they're going to find some level of stability. But you go to the NFC and how do you feel about the Philadelphia Eagles, who we did not talk about?
Not well.
The Commanders, though? You feel a little bit better about the Commanders.
I do like the Commanders, and I think they've got something going on.
Falcons are interesting. Of course, the Bucs get injured in this game, and that kind of hurts their possibilities. Yeah. But the Falcons kind of interesting in there as well.
Bucs are injured. Niners are injured. Commanders are completely unproven, even though I like them. Eagles are who knows what. It's arguable, but I don't know if I agree with him.
I think I agree with him, but I don't know that it's as big of a deal as what he is setting up. Like, he almost seems to make it as though, and of course, look, Pro Bowler Alex Smith, and he's watching this league intently, but he almost seems to be setting it up as if the NFC is far and away better than the AFC this year, and I don't know if I'm willing to go to that level.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's very arguable, very close.
But I think the thing that you do highlight when you look at these, both these conferences and juxtapose them, is just that, again, and I've mentioned this a few times kind of in passing, I don't know that there is a truly elite team out there. I think your Ravens are really starting to settle into that. The Lions have settled into there as well. I don't know why the Vikings have kind of... the Vikings should be in that place, but I still kind of feel a little reticent for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they're, you have those teams there, and maybe it's just I got to remember that any given season it kind of looks a little bit like this, but... yeah, it still feels like at the high end, there's you can catch them if you're doing the right things as a Texans. But I mean, that's a big if, though.
Let's be honest. The Chiefs are elite because they can do it any way they want. They have to.
Well, they might be more elite now that they add DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, but I mean, regardless, I think and they are elite. They can beat you in any number of ways, and that's what an elite team does. I think the Lions are people hesitate on the Lions because it's the Detroit Lions. It's like the brand is haunting them. They're an elite team.
Yeah, no, they're very good.
They're an elite team.
I always know that there's a way.
You're like, but it's the Lions. Okay.
Well, no, it's not even
that. The Chiefs were once an underachiever.
Sure.
You know? The Astros were once vastly underachieving.
100%. I think I never can get out of my mind the idea that if you heat up Jared Goff, you can make him look downright pedestrian, but the problem is I have to always bring myself back to the fact that, it's going to be hard to heat him up because they've got a great offensive line.
Yeah.
We welcome in our guys from The Drive, Clint and Ron. Good to see you guys now that we're back in studio again, and you guys as well. How did you feel about this thing that Alex Smith puts up, the idea that, hey, the NFC is actually probably better than the AFC this year?
I don't know. I don't agree. I think there's, in terms of teams you think that can win it all, I think the Ravens and the Chiefs are probably the ones in the AFC, and I think maybe the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Is it San Francisco who was coming in? Do you think in one of your teams in the NFC are not the same? That North Division is really, really good. I have been saying this to where Reggie is. I don't know, including the Chiefs, if there's really an elite team compared to what we've seen as an elite team. Like, I brought it up. I brought it up once. Like, that Eagles team that lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl where Jalen Hurts had one of his best games, like, they would beat the brakes off a lot of these teams mm-hmm. that are playing it. And they were second. But I wonder also, do we look at that because offense isn't, like, it's because Maybe. Offense isn't dominant.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs' defense is every bit as good as any of their offenses have been. They've been that good. And I wonder how much of it is because, hey, man, this is
where we
are. A defensive thing. Like, and I think there's a little bit with the Texans that we're overly concerned because they've become more defensive, like, led. Mm-hmm. It seems like here here of late. So
yeah.
I wonder if it's the offensive thing, because offense has been kind of down till the Ravens have kind of started to go off a little bit.
I look at it as the way that I've always looked at the SEC in the biggest, baddest college football conference.
Mm-hmm.
So often people have that conversation. It's about the lead dog, right? In every conference, not every, but the Power Fives, there's three conferences out there that have that big dog or a couple of top heavy, you know, teams that make it top heavy. In my opinion, the reason the SEC has been the best in the Power Five days is more about the strength of the middle of the pack teams,
yeah.
and the 100%. Rankings of the middle of the pack teams, the number of bowl teams you have. And you look at the AFC. I mean, really, once you get beyond the two that you mentioned with the Chiefs and the Ravens, I mean, who is everybody else? And then you look down at the NFC. Man, you got to get about. I mean, you got to get about seven, eight teams deep before you find somebody that you don't at least feel like has a chance.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's a fair point. We were talking earlier. I don't know if y'all heard. Nick Casario apparently takes a 75% tax on a baby's Halloween candy. He's wilding for that, right? Like, apparently
he makes them.
His daughter,
5% of Halloween candy.
Yeah, his daughters only get to eat a quarter of the Halloween candy.
Which my point was, somebody needs to tell Nick Casario they're hiding it.
Guys, 6:10 like talk on the radio.
The door. I feel like he's waiting at the door when they get in.
No.
I'm gonna write that on my idea board tonight.
No, don't take the baby's candy.
No.
Hey, man. We ain't eating like that, man.
Okay, good luck with that when they get a little older.
Yeah.
You may want to look in their drawers, their closets, under the bed.
You think he's taking it and eating it?
No.
Hell no.
That man said that his favorite Halloween candy is the Tootsie Roll because they made him make a choice. I don't know.
And I think Nick be lying sometimes.
I think he's naive. He thinks, we take 75%. Sure. They tell you they're throwing it away.
Yeah, mama's letting them hide half of it.
I think Nick got a stash in his office somewhere, and he goes down somewhere by himself.
What, you think he got some bit old honey in there or something?
He eat old candy.
He's eating that chicka stick.
That chicka stick. That's one of my favorites.
There's some saltwater taffy in there Boston, if you pull that drawer
that patty,
open. Right
that
there.
Boston patty, that red.
Not a
Nick, be looking around, brush his teeth. You know how people avoid their smoke, trying to avoid but they wipe to see it. He avoid the smell of candy. Nick, I know you've been eating them Milky Ways.
Well, look, let me hand it over to y'all. We're done here with the In the Loop. The Drive is about to get going. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.